In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning is a feast day. It's a celebration. And it's a celebration of the transfiguration. Quite a word. Not a word we use in everyday language, right? The great contemporary preacher, Barbara Taylor Brown, describes transfiguration this way. She says it's those little spaces in time where the film between heaven and earth is so thin that the glory of God breaks through. Now, we have seen this Shekinah of glory of God several times in Scripture. I believe the light at creation was the Shekinah glory of God. Also, as we know from the Old Testament reading today, then when Moses would go up on the mountain, there's a theme here, isn't there, mountain? I think it might be that the air's so thin up there. But when Moses went up on the mount to speak with God and to receive the old covenant, he would come down with his face just glowing with that Shekinah glory of God that he had picked up from being in the presence of God. In fact, it was such that when he would come down, that people couldn't even look upon him. He would have to cover his face with a veil. Another time when we see the Shekinah glory of God is with Mary, when she was just a maiden. And she was lying in her place for the night, and an angel appeared to her. And the Shekinah glory of God just lit up the place. And in that glory, it was revealed to her the path that was ahead of her. Now, have any of you ever been to Jerusalem? If you have, then you know that the places where they lived during that time, if you've been to Israel, were below ground. They weren't up in a hut on top like all of our Sunday school pictures show us. They were cave dwellers. And so that space where she would have been lying down for the night would have been underground in total darkness. It brings a whole new dimension to it, doesn't it? So there was no doubt that what was happening was a miracle from God. And in most cases, when that breakthrough between heaven and earth comes, it most of the time says they were very afraid. It was the same glory of God that shone down on the shepherds at the time of Jesus' birth, the Shekinah glory of God. So now let's put this in its setting. In this part of Jesus' life on earth, he was in an intense training program with his disciples. And it had gotten more intense because there was still much preparation for the journey that they were going to walk with him. And they just weren't ready yet. Now, I sense that today, I know this is true for me. It may not be true for you. You all might be a whole lot more righteous than me. But as many times as I have accepted Jesus and said the creeds, I wonder sometimes if I'm ready for what's ahead of us. You know, this time in history is real different. I was born in the late 40s, 1947. I just gave myself away. I'm 70 this year. And during the time of my childhood and even in my teen years, in the early 60s, it was very popular to be a Christian. You didn't have to defend it. It was just kind of, especially in the South where I lived, it was just what you were. And if you weren't, the only other category you could be was heathen, you know? You were on the way here or you were on the way down there. So you didn't think anything about prayer and talking about Jesus. But now we live in a culture which Jesus warned us about, the scriptures warned us about, where it's not so easy and it's going to get harder and harder and harder. It's now more important to be politically correct than Christ correct. So these are the challenges. This is the time where it's either bite the bullet and stay the course or fall away. And more and more and more of us are falling away. So in this setting, Jesus has been teaching and he's beginning to tell them what's going to happen to him. And if you look at other accounts and the other gospels in this season, he asks, "Who do people say that I am?" And that's Peter's famous confession. Remember, he says, "Oh, you're the Lord, you're the Christ." But then it tells us immediately when Jesus began to tell them what was going to happen to them, this Peter who had confessed it out loud with his mouth says, "Oh, no, 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 no. This is not how it's going down, Jesus. This is not the script. You are off script." And remember, Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And so they weren't prepared. And it was at this time, a few days after this, that Jesus invited those who were closest to him, including Peter, to go up on the mountain with him to pray. Now we know what happens whenever you try and join Jesus in prayer, you go to sleep. So just like regular and just like us, some of you are already beginning to nod off today, I can see. So if you hear anybody snoring next to you, hit them like this, because the good part's coming. And so they go to sleep, and Jesus is praying. And I don't read anything in the Gospels that tell me he was expecting this experience. I believe that this experience was a special gift from his Father for his final preparations as he went to the cross to bear all the sins of the world. And what a gift to him to send Moses and Elijah to be with him and to discuss with him what was going to happen. And this is a beautiful picture because Moses and Elijah were a symbol of the prophets and the law and the old covenant. And here was Jesus as a representative of the new covenant. And in this moment, you could see both sides, the old and new, coming together, with Jesus being the fulfillment of all that was intended from when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt and on to all the prophecies that we see in the Old Testament. And so they were there to encourage him, to say, "Keep it up. We're not there yet. We're close, but we're not there. Keep on keeping on." Whereas Peter had just said, "No, no, 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 you're off script." Moses and Elijah were encouraging him and saying, "You're right on script. It's going to get harder and harder, but you're right on script." And the scripture tells us that he lit up all over. And the Shekinah glory of God was surrounding him and Moses and Elijah. And it was such a bright that the disciples came fully alert and saw what was happening and somehow in the spirit recognized that it was Moses and Elijah. Maybe their pictures in the Bible were, you know, something like him too, right? But they recognized it. And of course, what did Peter do? What Peter always did. He spoke before he thought. And he said, "Oh, this is wonderful. We need to preserve this. We need to, you know, build some little, you know, places here for him to live and just kind of keep this as a site or whatever where we can come and visit him from time to time. Let's just make this permanent." And at that moment, all the light went away and all of the visions of Moses and Elijah went away. And God the Father spoke from the heavens. And he said the same words that he said over Jesus at his baptism. "This is my boy, and I'm well pleased with him." And then he added directly to the disciples, "You better listen to him." That's a word for us today, isn't it? With everything else that the world is telling us and that's going on in the culture and politics and everything else, the Spirit of the living God is telling us today to listen to him. Allow him to speak truth into your heart and your mind and your soul and to prepare you for the next steps that we as Christians will have to walk and endure. And as the generations behind us come up, if the Lord tarries, but I'm kind of praying he doesn't, but if he does, it's not going to get any easier. I've read the rest of the book, and the rest of the book tells us that. This Christian prosperity that we've had for so long, it's not here anymore. It's only here as we live in the world, bringing that light of Christ to where we go. Be bold. Be bold. And then they went down the mountain, and crowds were waiting for him. And he walked into the rest of his time here on earth, to the cross, to the place where he would take our sins and all the sins of the world and bear them on himself so that we might have life and have it eternally. There will be a day when we'll live in the Shekinah glory of God, and we'll get to hang out with Moses and Elijah and Jesus and my grandma and all of those other saints who've gone before us. When the only battle we'll have at that time is the one that Hebrews tells us about, where we'll be up there encouraging the others as they come along to stay strong in the faith. So that's the message for us in the Transfiguration. First of all, look for those places where God's presence leaks through out of heaven, those moments of transfiguration. And don't hold on to those, but walk forth into the world, being reassured and comforted and strengthened to do that one thing that God is calling you to do. We leave here today. We leave here strengthened for the journey. The pastor that we work with in Tallahassee, when she serves the bread at communion, she always says, "The body of Christ, strength for the journey." We're not here to be entertained, though I can be a little entertaining, usually more so than today. And of course, we enjoy the music and the fellowship, but the purpose of us coming together every week, and this is important, is to be built up and to have strength for the journey. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we rehearse what we believe in the Nicene Creed.